Today on Real Radio.
And so he goes on, not greedy for money, but gentle, patient. And this is a really incredible, wonderful word for us that are in the ministry, because it leads us to believe this. We need to be patient and gentle when it comes to criticism. Somebody on this side of the church will say, that really blessed my heart. Man, you ministered to me. And then they'll walk by and the next person will say, I think you're insane. I think you're nuts. I think you're crazy. And you can't let criticism mess you up. And if you do that, you're just going to be devastated. And besides all that, you guys, we can't do that. It's not of the spirit, it's of the flesh.
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands, let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his series through the two letters written by the Apostle Paul to Timothy. We're looking at the first of these two New Testament canonical letters, and it is sometimes referred to as one of the pastoral epistles, or letters to those called into the ministry. Today, we look at part of chapter 3, where we find a list, as it were, of personal qualities required of an overseer of God's people. Here's Pastor Jack Hibbs, continuing in this mini-series called Qualifications for the Ministry.
The pastor's not to be a violent man. He's not to be a striker. And by the way, not with words as well. It goes on to say there in 1 Timothy 3 that he's not to be greedy for money. I like this. Have you ever seen those cars or those businesses and it says not for hire? To enter the ministry for bucks is to become a hireling, is to do it for the money. Gee, maybe I can golf. Gee, maybe I can get a $5 million home and a yacht like Robert Tilton. You know, maybe I can own a Learjet like Fred Price and Kenneth Copeland. I'm going into the ministry. Hot dog, here we go. Hey, you're not to be for hire. When God calls you to the ministry, pastors to be, your heart needs to burn. Not so much for the office, but for the burden of the word of the Lord upon your heart, like Jeremiah burned within his heart. And Paul said, man, I can't keep silent concerning the gospel. You need to give it to people. And I tell you what, you don't become a pastor or you don't enter the ministry and then start doing it. It will naturally begin a natural outcropping of your life to share the word of God and to minister to people. God will see to it. But it's not to be for money. And in fact, if there's anybody in here with that kind of attitude, the way America's going, we're all going to be broke in a couple of years. And God's going to need more ministers than ever before if the market falls out, because people are going to find God in their poverty. And the very fact of the matter is, we need to have hearts that are right toward Him. And that goes not only for those who occupy the pulpit, but for every one of us as Christians. You guys will soon, you already do, but soon you will bear the greatest treasure to the world when the market of America crashes, because it's not over yet. And you will have the gems and the jewels to knock on your neighbor's door and say, do you have Christ? And for the first time, maybe in your ministry to them, they'll say, I don't have anything. I'll take them. And Jesus, he's going to start rescuing people in a radical way in the days that are ahead. And we're all going to be called into the ministry. And it's wonderful. 1 Timothy 6:5, he says, men of corrupt minds and destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness, from such people withdraw yourself. I was listening to the radio this week. If you don't send God's money into God's ministry here, He's going to go broke. The ministry's going to fold up, and you wouldn't want to do that to God, would you? Send your money. Listen, send your money anywhere else but to the people that ask. It's wrong. I heard a thing, my blood boiled this week. This guy said, and you ladies, you widows on pension checks, if you're tired of your poverty, listen, I've got this on tape. If you're tired of your poverty, mail those pension checks to me, and God will bless you. If there's any ladies with pension checks listening to the sound of my voice now out there among the radio land, hey, anywhere, in here, on the tape, whatever, you hear that, you hang on to your money. God's given it to you. Don't give it to those guys. That is wrong. It is wrong. God will speak to the hearts of people. And if a man is in the ministry to acquire bucks and to get people to give money, get out of there. You don't need that. And God certainly doesn't want that. It's a sad and sorry representation of God's ministers. And so he goes on, not greedy for money, but gentle, patient. And this is a really incredible, wonderful word for us that are in the ministry, because it leads us to believe this. We need to be patient and gentle when it comes to criticism. And it's an amazing thing. Somebody on this side of the church will say, that really blessed my heart. Man, you ministered to me. And then they'll walk by, and the next person will say, I think you're insane. I think you're nuts. I think you're crazy. And you can't let criticism mess you up. And if you do that, you're just going to be devastated. And besides all that, you guys, we can't do that. It's not of the spirit. It's of the flesh. If people can yank on us by emotion, by saying, you're wonderful, you're a bozo, you're there, and you'll be like this all day long in your life, Christian, and one day you'll be up, and the next day you're down. You know what? Criticism, God spoke this to my heart Friday morning as I was looking over this. I'm your judge. I'm your judge, God says, and we're to live before him, and we're not to worry about criticism. We're to be gentle when it does come. And so we're not also to be quarrelsome. Simply put, people, it means we need to agree to disagree. We don't get in some big fight because you don't see it my way and I don't fight with you. And it's all, hey, agree to disagree. And there's maturity in that. There's simplicity in that. And so we make it. Not covetous. Not loving things to benefit your life. Not desiring things. Verse 4, one who rules his own house well, having his children in submission with all reverence. For if a man does not know how to rule his own house, how will he take care of the church of God? The church actually in the pastor's life begins and has begun in his home long before he ever gets up in front of people. The children should be in the Word. He should be praying with his wife. They should have a home that's Spirit-led. That God and the Word of God is not a once-in-a-while kind of a thing. It's an integral, active part of their lives. And that husband, that man, that word rule is a beautiful word. It doesn't mean to slap around and, okay. You know, I grew up in a sergeant's home. You know, tangent. And I do that with my little girls, actually, joking around. Whenever we want to do something, I'll go, tangent, in the house. And you can hear they come running, and they go. And I go, you will. I will. Put my shoes on. Put my shoes on. Get in the van. Get in the van. You know? Well, you're not to do that. You're to govern over your home in a gentle way, in a loving way, that when you speak to your children, let's get in the van. It's not with a belt in this hand and a cat of nine tails in this hand. Hey, you got your home in order. You're not running around yelling at them all day long. They don't listen to a word you say. Why? Because you're yelling at them all day long. You speak softly, and the Bible says that, we're to spank our children, even though there's a law right now. And Hawaii. Did that pass, anybody? Did it pass? Law in Hawaii going up. If you spank your child, you will be put in jail. Parent, spank your child, you go to jail. In California, use a gun, go to jail. In Hawaii, spank your child, go to jail. These are great satanic days in which we live. You're to be a gentleman in your home. You're to rule your home well. And this is what I like personally, people. You're to be the kind of a pastor, the kind of a man in the home that your family enjoys following you. I mean, it's cool. It's no battle zone. The wife goes, you know what? He's pretty cool. He's listening to God. And yeah, you know, I'll follow that. And let's get in the van, kids. And it's cool. It works. He loves his home. He governs his home by love and by concern. And that's a beautiful thing. The greatest picture that we can see this acted out in the Bible is in Luke chapter 10 about the Good Samaritan. That's ruling well. That man showed compassion to that poor beaten man. He gave him first aid, healed his wounds, and dropped him off at the inn. And then when he came back, he said, I'll cover him. I'll pay for whatever expenses. I'll bless him. We need to be like that. And so he goes on. Verse 6, not a novice. This is a beautiful word. The word is nouphetos in the Greek. I don't know if I'm pronouncing that right. It's a novice. It means newly planted. He's not to be a tender sapling that's just sprouting up in the ministry. And it has nothing to do with age, people. It has to do with experience. And it's kind of like a little sapling coming up, and you go, oh boy, a new little Christmas tree. And you take this beautiful red Christmas bulb, and you hang it on him. He falls over. That's exactly how that is. He's not to be a new or tender sapling or newly planted. He's to be experienced in the warfare of the Word of God and of the Spirit. You can go to seminary. You can do all. You can read books. You can pray. You can go through all of the motions. But there's nothing like experience. I was at a get-together a while back, and all of these people were in there, these students. Somebody said, what do you suggest I do concerning seminary? And he said, go into the ministry for 4 years first, then go to school. And the guy put his hand down and thought, well, that's kind of weird. Raise his hand again. Why? Because you need to be rooted and grounded in the Word of God yourself, because when you go to a Christian university to get your degrees, they're going to try to tear your faith right out of your heart. And he says, there's non-believing professors in Christian universities, atheists, and worse. And he says, you need to have your head screwed on before you go to a seminary. Isn't that heavy? Everyone's, oh, wow. I had somebody confirm that, by the way, last week after message. Horrible situation at a Christian school that's not too far from here. And so, not to be a novice. Why? Because he'll be lifted up with pride. Remember that quote a couple weeks ago? I want to use it again. Maybe it's a couple months ago concerning pride. I think this says it all. The ancient Greeks had a saying, and it says, whom the gods would destroy, they first made great. Isn't that heavy? Whom the gods would destroy, they would first make great. And a novice is not to be put in a position of authority, because he'll get puffed up and he'll fall. Verse 7, moreover, he must have a good testimony among those who are outside. Simply this, the non-believers who know you, they respect you. They don't agree with your theology, but they respect you. They'll come to you when the chips are down. You've got a good witness with the non-believers. And might I add this, people? I think the non-believers are the neatest people in the world to minister to, is to live in or work in a job where there's non-believers. You want accountability? That's accountability. The best. I get bummed. I hang around here. I got Christians coming in all the time. I want to get around some good heathens. I love it. I just love being around them. We've all come from that place. I get all excited. Man, come on, what a happy hour? No, I don't. Well, how come? All right, I'll tell you why. And most people you talk to, they want to hear about God. They really do. Well, what else does the Bible say, they'll ask you? They want to know. There's a closeness that they can have with you that they can't have with me. Oh, he's a pastor. I can't talk to him. That's ridiculous. But you can go places where Billy Graham can't go. The man in the pulpit should have a good witness outside of the pulpit in the world. And so he says there, lest he fall into reproach and the snare of the devil. Now, verse 8, a new thought. Deacons, and this is the office of a deacon. Now, people, listen up. There's a lot of deacons in here right now, and you may become a deacon. So listen. This particular verse from verse 8 down to 13 is better taken this way. Deacon of deacons, or servant of servants, is this word deacon. This is the person that heads up the rest of the deacons. Because that word deacon simply means servant or minister. Now, in verse 8, he says, likewise, or in the same manner, deacons must be reverent. He says there that they're not to be double-tongued, not given to much wine, not greedy for money. In the Bible, in Acts chapter 6, verses 1 through 7, we have the birthplace of the deacon. It says there in Acts chapter 6, if you want to run over there in your Bibles, it says, now in those days, when the number of the disciples were multiplying, there arose a murmuring against the Hebrews for the Hellenists, because their widows were neglected in the daily distribution. Listen now, verse 2, Acts chapter 6. Then the 12 apostles summoned the multitude of the disciples. Deacons are first disciples or followers of Christ. And they said to them, it is not desirable, it's not right for us that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Therefore, brethren, seek out among yourselves seven men of good, listen, good reputation, full of the Holy Spirit, wisdom, that we may appoint over this business. But we will give ourselves continually, the pastors will give themselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. And this saying pleased all the people, and they took to themselves there Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit. Now look, these guys are going to wait on tables. The next time you go to a restaurant and you're paying that big dollar amount for that dinner, these guys are waiters. Hey, is your waiter spirit-filled? Is your waiter full of wisdom? Does your waiter have a good reputation? Listen, we get served out in the world by who knows what sort of person. The awesome thing about this is when you come into the church, deacons should be here serving you. They're waiting on tables. They're waiting on your chairs. They're waiting on your children right now. They're teaching your kids. It simply means to be a servant. But this particular order is the deacon of deacons, or the overseer of deacons. And it's very interesting to see how in some churches, this word deacon means like you're almost a pope. And that's not scriptural. They are servants, and they are precious backbones to the ministry. No church will survive without deacons. This word is diakonos in the Greek, and it simply means to be a minister or a servant, an attendant. And, you might want to say, well, okay, great, you know, how long do I be one? How do I be one? Listen, you can be a deacon as long as you're deaconing. And as long as you're deaconing all over the place. You deacon, it's just, you serve. And you serve in this body or in the body that you're going to church at as long as you're called to do so. And God will move you along. Quite often, God will take a deacon and he'll promote him into the ministry as a full-time pastor. And so every pastor must first be a deacon, a servant. And you're to have a good reputation. You're to be a person who is upright. Now, do we have ceremonies here for becoming a deacon? We don't. Some places do. We don't. Now, if we had a head deacon here, we might go so far as in Acts chapter 6, lay hands on him and pray over him concerning his office as deacon. So we're not going to have any kind of stuff like that. And what kind of authority does a deacon have? You know what? Deacons, true deacons, they could care less about authority. They actually gain respect of people by their servanthood And from there, their authority comes. But they're not authority-seeking people. They're servants. They're precious. Every one of you sit here this morning blessed already in this church by a deacon. A deacon made sure the lights were on. A deacon made sure that the door was unlocked. A deacon makes sure that you get your tape, that your children are being taken care of. And we thank God for the deacons that he's put here. In Ephesians 6:21, the Bible says, "But you also may know my affairs," Paul says, "that how I am doing Tychicus, a beloved brother and faithful deacon in the Lord, minister, will make known all things to you." Philippians 1:1, Paul says, "And Timothy, servants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints of Christ Jesus who are at Philippi with the bishops and the deacons." Beautiful support ministry they are. And so he says that he's not to be a man who's double-tongued, or he's first of all to be reverent. That word simply means worthy of respect. And it suggests this, people, as well. He's worth working for. He's not a lord and he's not a boss. The children's ministry. If you're involved in the children's ministry and if Roy is being some kind of a boss, pushing you around, that's wrong. If Chuck comes up here and you're trying out and he chews on you because you're not hitting the right note and as a worship deacon, it should be gentle, loving. They should be people that you love to listen to and get instruction from. They're not to be double-tongued. This is great. You know, like a snake, sticks his tongue out there and the thing split. This is great. That word means not to be talking out of both sides of your mouth simultaneously. And that's heavy. Think about it. Saying one thing this way and one thing the other way. Double-tongued. It also suggests it's a gossiper. It's not to be a gossiper. And that's pretty heavy because the deacon, the head deacon that's referred to here, is privy to a lot of information, quite possibly. "Oh, that's what happened. Oh, we'll be sure to pray for her. Okay, thanks, you guys." Walk away. "Hey, Barney!" And it's announced. Charles Spurgeon says this, most persons who have secrets told to them are like the lady whom it is said of her only tells two types of people the secret. Those who ask and those who don't. I like that. He's not to be double-tongued.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, addressing the issue of personal qualifications for those called into positions of watching over a local body of believers of God's people. It's a look at Paul's first letter to Timothy, chapter 3, a mini-series called Qualifications for the Ministry. And we'll continue with more on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Listen, if Real Radio is making a difference in your life, let us know. You can drop a line to Pastor Jack by either calling, clicking, or writing. When visiting us at realradioactive.org, just click on where it says Send Us a Message. Here's one from a listener in the Lone Star State. "Pastor Jack, I just want you to know that I live in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, and I listen to you on my way to work during the week. I appreciate your teachings and also want to say that I was able to fly out with my sister to the prophecy conference in January. What an eye-opener. Thanks for exposing the Islamic agenda and our ignorance as a nation. Keep up the good work. God bless, Marianne." Well, thank you, Marianne. It doesn't take much. Just call, click, or write. You can visit us at realradioactive.org, realradioactive.org, and click where it says Send Us a Message. Our phone number, which is toll-free, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. Or for the cost of a stamp, write us at Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Real Radio with Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, and made possible by the generous contributions of its listeners. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word.
Inside, you shine amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.